light of this church. It's all for you, Jesus. And God, I pray, God, as we talk this morning, Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak these things to our hearts. We welcome transformation this morning. We welcome more of you this morning. God, we reject church as usual. And God, we fully embrace you. We fully embrace the cross this morning. And God, I pray you give us ears to hear what you would have to say to the church this morning. God, use me. And God, even speak even other things beyond even what I say to people's hearts, my heart, this morning. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So we are in part four of a series that we started 4 weeks ago. And we're talking about making space. And I'm actually going to repeat a lot of the stuff that I said last week. And because I feel kind of an urgency about this message and about us making space. But I want to go a little bit different ending than we did last week. But I want to talk about making space for the anointing. I want to talk about making space for God Himself into our lives. And, you know, we talked about the analogies of our home and what we're doing at our house, making space. And we talked about how we were tearing down the wall in between our kitchen and our living room. And we're making space. And the idea is that we need to make space. Sometimes our lives can be so cluttered up with other things that we don't make space for the things of God. And we all have a race to run. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off. Everybody say, throw off. Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, for you, for me. We have a race that's marked out for us. And the Word teaches us that there's things in our lives that can clutter us and that can keep us from running the race God has in store for us. We talked about purging things that are unnecessary and unimportant. And I said this last week, actually I quoted Francis Chan. He says, I don't want to be an expert on things that won't matter for eternity. And Jesus said it like this. He said it in Mark chapter 4, talking about the seed sown. He says, still others are like seed sown among the thorns, that they hear the word. They hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it what? Unfruitful. Unfruitful. Jesus is really talking about a lot of the same things that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. That there are things that can come into our lives that can choke out the word. It can choke out what God wants to do. The seed, we can hear the word. We can hear the word all we want. But if we're not careful, that word that goes in you can remain unfruitful. That's amazing. That God's word can enter into our lives, but yet our lives be unfruitful. I don't know about you, but I think our world needs a little bit of fruitful Christians. Fruitful believers. Christians that bear fruit. And so, we talked about the word anointing. And that word brings a lot of different context to different people. Depending on your denominational background or whatever churches you've been involved with in the past, or we talk about the anointing, right? The anointing, actually, in the Old Testament, the anointing, we see that how the different kings or the different prophets would go and anoint kings, right? For service, for empowerment, right? For position. That God would use these prophets to come and anoint. Like, remember the story of David, right? that had all the brothers. All the brothers that looked the part, right? That looked like they were, this is the part that the oldest brother, can you imagine the older brother? And you get passed over, right? That the older brother, he gets passed over, and he goes down the line and down the line and down the line to the last brother. And then they said, I think we have another brother. How would like some of, you know, how many of y'all ever last picked in sports and all that kind of stuff? Nobody's raising their hand. Me, okay? So that's like David, right? He was like last picked, right? But they call David, and the prophet Samuel goes, that's the one. That's the one. And the Bible says that they anointed David to be king. He was marked as king. He was empowered by God's Spirit to be king. It talks about the word, and then it comes into the New Testament, and that word anoint means to like rub or smear with oil. And it has to do with consecrating, very similar to the Old Testament, but in the New Testament it talks about that they're anointed for a specific service. That you're anointed for a service, for an office, or for a thing that that God's called you to do. You are anointed. And we talked about how what happens is in Acts chapter 10, it says, talks about Jesus. Jesus was anointed. But it says this in verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus with what? The Holy Spirit and with power. Say it. Say, God anointed Jesus with the
Holy Spirit
and with
power.
He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And what did he do with that? He went, man, look at me, I'm anointed. He went, wow, look at me. Have you seen my anointing? Have you seen that I'm an anointed person? Right? And that what he did, right? He just walked around and says, I'm anointed. Right? And please, please, please worship me. Please, I am the man. Right? No, 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 no. No, let me, I was about to say something, but I'll say it anyway. Give me a special parking space because what, I am God's anointed. No, he didn't. That anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power was for what? He went about doing good and healing all those who are under the power of the devil because God was with him. God anointed Jesus to go about and do good. And to heal all those who are oppressed, another translation says, of the devil, because God is with them. Jesus was chosen and anointed by the Holy Spirit. And it caused him to do a lot of really, really cool things. Anointed with what? With the Holy Spirit and with power. Then we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says this. Now it is God who makes both us and you to stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He anointed us. You hear that? And set His seal of ownership on us. And put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, a guarantee of what is to come. We have been anointed. You have been anointed. Listen, can I tell you this morning? This anointing, it's not just for certain people in the church. This anointing is not just for those who are full-time ministry. It's you. You are anointed. You have the power of God resting inside you. You have the very power of God in you. In you. And the moment a believer recognizes that and walks in it, look out. Because you know what he's going to do? He's going to start looking exactly like Jesus. He's going to start going around and doing what? Good. And he's going to do what? Heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. Because you know why? God's with him. That's you. That's me. You're anointed. Say, I am.
I am.
Anointed.
By the Holy Spirit
and power.
And
that's you. That's you. When the day of Pentecost came, right? And they were all gathered in one place. And the Holy Spirit came in power. And I believe that the craziness of that, if you read that scripture, the craziness of that whole moment where tongues of fire came, and can you imagine? Can you imagine us being in here and all of a sudden the wind starts blowing? Like there's no wind in this room, right? But all of a sudden those curtains start, and all of a sudden tongues of fire come and goes, like right on Scott. Boom. It doesn't even burn it up. Maybe that's what's going on back here. Too much of the Holy Spirit and fire. Come on, Jesus. Every time you look at this bald spot now, I want you to... That's the Holy Spirit and fire burned off his hair. Come on now. And all some of those men in the congregation said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all just need to pray more, you know? These signs. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, I lost my train of thought. Okay. But I am anointed. And I believe why that situation was so powerful and such a visual was I feel like God was just saying, I want y'all to catch this. This is a major event in human history. That God's Spirit, now because of the work of Jesus on the inside of us, has made a way that the temple is not just a temple where God's presence lives. Now the temple is you and it's me. And we live and God lives on the inside of us. And you are anointed. But I'll say this. Just like giftings, you can be a gifted piano player. And no one ever know that there's a gift inside of you if you don't exercise that gifting. Where's Steve? Steve Smith in here? Where's Steve? Is he in here? He's in there. Steve Smith's a big guy. Some of you guys are big, big guys. My brother-in-law, he's just a mammoth of a human. He's got muscles like on top of muscles, right? I have the same actual muscles that he does. Why are you laughing? But I have not exercised them. Maybe some supplements. But sorry, Bill, if you're listening to this. But I don't exercise them like Bill does. Come on. You can have giftings inside you. And let me say this, just because the anointing is on the inside of you doesn't necessarily mean you'll walk in that anointing. It can live in you dormant. What I believe, that God wants to wake up the church and to go about and do good and heal those who are oppressed of the enemy. And I talked about this last week, and I'm going to mention it again because I want this to sink in us. I want us to realize the time which we live. What I'm noticing lately is I'm noticing that anytime there's I feel a burden about something and I hear about something, like drug abuse, I have a burden about it. It grieves me. And I know it's out there. And then I talked to Tyrone, who works in drug counseling now, because God set him free from drugs. Amen? And I asked him, how prevalent are drugs in our culture? Go down that rabbit trail. And how are people doing that are trapped in that lifestyle? We need some people anointed. We need some people who are go about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. Because this drug problem, it seeps its way into everything. Into all kind of stuff. Everywhere. We're not just talking, we're talking major drugs that destroys people. And just like Tyrone, God can set them free. Just like Denise, God can set you free. Just like some of you others, God can set you free. Start going down the rabbit hole of sex trafficking. And find out the many women that live a tortured life. And children. It makes you nauseous. Makes you, like right now, you're uncomfortable. Good. It's a part of our culture. Go down to Table on Delk and talk to Tina, who runs that ministry over there, who works with the prostitutes. On Delk Road? Yes, Delk Road. It's a major. And I won't tell you the things I know. Some of you have been there. They ask you, it's so great, they ask you to read these cards when you're there. And you read these cards of people that they've come in contact with them, stacks of them, women trapped in that lifestyle. And you read about them and that girl and their four kids who lives with them. And then go down the area of pornography in our culture and watch a guy give an altar call for pornography, and about 80% of the teenagers, boys and girls alike, going forward for an altar call, weeping before God for freedom. And then listening to what that pornography does to a teenager, when all the work, how is they worthless they feel. No wonder our suicide rates for teenagers are off the chart. Because you realize the devil doesn't care. The devil doesn't care what he gets you bound in. He doesn't care. But once he got you, there's other things that follow. That's why a lot of times you'll see anger. Why is that anger related to that kind of lifestyle? Well, it's because of shame. They feel shame, it's triggered, they get angry. Listen, when the Bible tells us that sin destroys life, the Bible means it. Yeah. We live. I want us to wake up and say it is all around us. And then we have two more shootings last night in our country. Two more. And I'll say it again. The answer is not another political speech. The answer is not somebody with a bunch of good ideas. The answer is not even throwing money at that problem. The answer is God's people anointed by the Spirit of God to go about and doing good and healing those who are oppressed of the devil. Because why? God is with us. God is with us. It just breaks my heart. Because I see it all the time. Like, I'm a pastor, right? So, like, I hear... Of the worst of the worst, and things happen. And some of your family members that you've told me about, some of our own struggles that we struggle with, right? We'll get to that next week. But I believe, what if the church started being the church? But you know what has to come first? Is I have to start being the church. I have to start being that person. I have to start being that person. Are you going to solve the problem? Are you going to solve the problem of sex trafficking? Nope. Are you going to solve the problem of drug use? Probably not you. Are you going to solve the problem of pornography? Are you going to solve some of the problems of anger among people and fits of rage and all the stuff that goes on in our culture? Are you going to be the person that's going to solve that? No. But you know what? It may be your coworker. It may be that same. It's funny how every time you go to Walmart, you meet the same person that's bagging your groceries or bagging your stuff. And you meet the same person. Lord, what are you doing? Of all these cashiers, how come I come to this same one every single time? I was in, some of y'all, if y'all long here with me long enough, you're going to hear the same stories over and over again. I was in Haiti right after the earthquake. And I remember being there, I don't remember how many years ago that was. It's been a while. But I had something that so impacted me, it changed my idea and my thoughts towards ministry forever. I remember going to Haiti and seeing all the devastation of the earthquake and being there, standing next to the rubble of buildings and the buildings haven't even been gone through, if you know what I mean. Like, they haven't even pulled people out of it. Like, it's just there. I walked the road where most of the the thing about Haiti, the earthquake in Haiti, is the majority of the victims were men who were working. Because it hit the big place where all the markets was and everything, and all those just collapsed on top of people. And I remember seeing just women just everywhere, just by themselves, and it was awful. And I remember the weight of it. And I remember I was leading a team, and I remember going, what in the world am I here for? And I'd hear stories from the Haitian people, and they would tell me their, I'm like, I remember going back to my room, and I'll be honest, as a leader of the trip, I was like, oh yeah, we're here for God, and we're going to blah, blah, blah. And I remember going back to my room and going, what in the world can I do for this? What is my part in all of this tragedy? And I remember God says, David, you can't solve it all. But I'll never forget this phrase. He said, but you can help the one in front of you. You can help the one in front of you. We can help the one in front of us. So the rest of that trip, you know what we did? With individual people, this lady came up to us. She goes, I just need pain medication for my her foot was just a mess from the earthquake. She goes, I haven't had pain medication. What? You know what we did? Got some money together. Got her some pain medication. Can help them go about doing good, amen, and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. Because you're anointed. Because you're anointed. It's the person in front of us. It's not just solving the whole cultural problems, but it's the person in front of you. That's somebody's alarm. Everybody's checking her. Thank you. We talked about two things that clutter or block the anointing, and we'll just real quick. Selfishness and a not surrendered life. I want to go to something real quick. I want you to listen to this. I want to read the Ten Commandments. Listen to this. First commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Let them sink, right? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall make no idols. You shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain. keep the Sabbath and make it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. In Luke 6, Jesus says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for anyone who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They're like a man who builds their house and who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods came, the torrent shook the house that it could not shake because it was well built. But everyone who hears the word and does not put them into practice is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 22. Somebody came up to Jesus and said this, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, this is Jesus, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You will love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." It's interesting that if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first part of the Ten Commandments are what? They're about your relationship with God. The second half of the Ten Commandments have to do with your relationship with each other and how we deal with each other. So Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment? Love God and love people. Love God and love people. It's the believer's life is really simple. Love God and love people. If you do that, Jesus says, you'll fulfill all the law. All the laws are based on those two things. Love God and love people. Then Jesus says, and we always talk about, I want to build my house on the rock. You know that scripture is not ethereal. Jesus tells exactly what it looks like to build your house on a rock. And it's not some ethereal kind of idea. Or Jesus says, those who hear my words and put them into practice, those are like the people who build their houses on a rock. I'm going to ask my ushers to come. And the worship team, you can come too. There's a word that we don't really use anymore. And I want to introduce it back. And it's this, lordship. Lordship. Jesus is Lord. Just listen, look at me. Listen. Jesus is Lord. When you're a believer, what you believe, listen, should affect what you think, what you say, and what you do. We are a peculiar people. Because why? Because we don't live for the applause of people. We don't live for the approval of others. We don't live under the morals of our culture. We are a people of God who are anointed, who are called out, who are people that say, you know what? Somebody's got to do something and it might as well be me. Just like Nehemiah saw the walls and all collapsed. He was a cupbearer. That's all he was. But he says, somebody's got to do something. Nehemiah wasn't a builder. He was a cupbearer. He says, somebody's got to do something. Might as well be me. He wasn't really qualified. Neither Neither am I. To do what God's called us to do. But I'm anointed. And you're anointed. I'm going to say this. I've been waiting to preach next week's message for months. And this message next week is going to be crucial to how we move forward as a church. Like, oh my gosh, what are we changing? Relax. Let me just say, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Is it going to be hard? Yeah. You're going to love it. Because I remember, I'm not going to share it, but I remember God spoke to me and said, David, I inquired of the Lord. I said, God, are we doing as a church what you've called us to do? And he started bringing back to my remembrance when we started this church. You guys were here. And he says, let's go back to some of those things. I said, you got it. So next week, we're going to talk about a little bit of the vision of our church. And I am so excited. Don't miss next week. And Lake Day is going to be fantastic. I'm telling you, don't miss next week. Let's all stand together. Close your eyes, just you and him. God, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you, God, that you gave it all for us. And as we take communion this morning, God, I thank you, God, we're reminded of what you've done for us. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. What I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to come forward, and I want you to just make your way down to the center of the aisle, go off this way, grab your elements, and then hold them in your seat because we all want to take together. Amen? Let's go ahead. You can start coming. Thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that we are filled with your anointing. God, Jesus, we honor you. Jesus, you gave your body broken. The stripes you bore on your back for our healing, both physical and emotional healing. You know, with your, we can do this one of two ways. We can do this as a religious duty, or we can do this by faith. Maybe there's some things, some healing that you need. As an act of your faith, we apply Jesus' broken body to our lives. We thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken, the stripes that you bore on your back. And by faith, we take in Jesus' name, and we remember in Jesus' name. Go ahead and take. Thank you, Jesus. We receive your healing into our lives. Healing come in Jesus' name. We thank you for your provision. And God, we thank you for the blood. Jesus, you said this is the blood of the new covenant that represents redemption. It represents the eradication of sin and its effect in our lives. That sin no longer has to have power over us. That through the blood, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for your blood that paid the price so that we can boldly approach the throne of grace to find help in time of need. We thank you, Jesus, that the blood tore down that wall, that barrier wall between us and God Himself. We thank you. Jesus, we honor you this morning in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You can go ahead and take. Just give me a couple of more minutes and we'll be done. Why don't you bow your heads? The call, let me just speak this as you bowed your head. Come on, just so that you can focus. This could be a really important moment for some of you. Jesus gave us 100%. 100%. I want to live my life 100% for Him. Nothing holding back. You see, God has set me free. And that's not a tagline to a sermon. That's not a nice little say and not something to get everybody pumped up about. See, God has set me free. I'm free today because of Him. And my only response can be to give my life solely back to Him. And what God wants, if you could just see the world from God's perspective, He says, just let me have your life so I can help others find the freedom that you've found. You see, this short, curly-headed guy up front is done with religion. I just want to serve God because He set me free, because He's changed my life. And there's nothing else I can do but give Him 100%. So we're going to do something that we don't normally do. Maybe you're in here and you're like, I'm living my life 100% all out. That's awesome. That's great. Let's do this. But maybe you're in this place and you say, you know what? I'm holding back. I've allowed the things of this world, the desire for other things, the love of wealth, or the desire for the things of this world clutter my life. This is like my last message on this subject. And if that's you, and you say, we're going to do old-fashioned gospel Baptist way. If that's you and you want to make a fresh decision for the Lord Jesus and say, I'm done. I'm with you, David. I'm done doing church as usual. I'm done doing church. I want to live my life 100% for Him. It kind of makes me nervous on the inside, but that's what I want to do. And I feel God tugging me. I want that anointing to increase in my life. If that's you, I want you to step out of your seat and I want you to come down. We are doing it old style gospel way this morning. And you say, you are done. Come on. Come on. Awesome. Awesome. Amen. Amen. Come on. If that's you, if it's stirring on the inside of you, I'm all in, Jesus. I'm all in. Awesome. Awesome. Amen. 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 I'm all in for you. No turning back. No turning back. Jesus. We're all in. We're all in. So God, we look to You. We thank You, God. Father, we thank You, God, for Your goodness. We thank You that You love us. We thank You that You're for us and not against us. We thank You, God, that in You we live and move and have our being. We thank You, God. God, that when we give our lives to You, God, You pour life back into us. The way it was meant to live. And God, I pray, God, that You would do such a work in our hearts. That God, all the misconceptions of that people in our culture have of You would be stripped away because of the way we love each other and we love You. And God, I pray, as the rest of us leave this place, God, I pray that You would help us to be accurate representatives of You in this earth. God, let our lives be a testimony of Your goodness. And God, when people around us call You and talk about You as this judgmental, mean God, Father, I pray that our lives would say differently. That we would really love people and love You. In Jesus' name. Before you leave, say it one more time. Say, I am anointed. As I leave, I'm anointed. Amen. In Jesus' name. I heard God just say, hey, you don't leave your anointing here. You carry it with you out these doors. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. I love this church so much. God bless you guys. We're going to, if y'all could leave, if you want to sit here and pray, that's awesome. If you want to come forward, the altar is still open. I would ask if y'all want to talk and all that kind of stuff, which is awesome. I'm all about fellowship. I would ask you to leave and go out. Some of you youth, I want you to come up and help us pray for some of these people.